It's so good having Matt Paschal with us today. For those of you that don't know the Paschals or were not here a year ago last summer when they visited with us, we've had an association with the Paschals for almost 20 years. Matt first came to help us when he was with a group called Delta Ministries, and he came as we were preparing for a trip to Slovakia, and he helped equip our team and train us for our mission trip. And that began, that was the beginning of a beautiful friendship. After Matt left Delta Ministries, he went to France for language training and on to Senegal with he and Nikki. And they served there for a number of years until poor health made it impossible for Nikki to stay there in the field, and God closed that door to open up a new opportunity for them in Budapest. And we're so glad that we've been part of this journey the whole way. Well, I want you to know that even though I knew that we were going to ask Matt to come on today, I didn't plan this to be a missionary Sunday or for this to be a mission sermon. But as I've been working through 2 Thessalonians, I realized that in essence, this is a message about what to pray for your missionary. And so I hope this will be relevant not only to the occasion, but certainly appropriate to the passage. Now, those of you who know our family know that our son Carey was named after William Carey, the missionary to India back at the early 1800s, late 1700s. Carey started a group in England, the Particular Baptist Missionary Society. And that group of people was there to support him as he went over to India. One of the people who was part of that, Andrew Fuller, said that their job as the missionary society was essentially holding the ropes. The picture that he had was of a miner going down into a mine to mine precious stones. And to do that, he had to be lowered down into the mine with ropes. And his job was crucial, but so was the job of the people who held the ropes. And Andrew Fuller said, "We are holding the ropes for William Carey." And in some ways, that's really what we do for Matt Paschal and Nikki and for all the missionaries that we support. And one of the ways in which we hold the ropes, perhaps the most important way, is through prayer. So this morning, I want to share 4 ways with you how we can pray for our missionaries. The first of those ways isn't even found in this passage, and yet it may be the most important. In fact, it's not, as far as I know, it's not found in the Bible, but it still may be the most important. And that is, you can't pray for someone you don't know. So the first thing we have to do if we want to support our missionaries through prayer is to know who our missionaries are. Now, if you have been part of our church for a long time, you've probably met every one of our missionaries. We have 8 missionaries and 1 mission organization, Children's Bible Fellowship. But let me just tell you who our missionaries are and where they serve so that you can pray more intelligently for them, so you can pray at all for them. If you don't know who they are, you can't pray for them. So the first, you've met them today if you hadn't met them before, Matt Paschal, his wife Nikki, and his kids. The second missionary that we have had on since we've been meeting on Zoom is Kevin and Kaori Laverman in Japan. Also associated with our church for a while has been Dwayne and Miriam Mansfeld. We were hoping to have them in person this spring, but because of the pandemic, they were unable to come join us. We'll probably try to get them to Zoom on with us one of these days. A couple that is probably the closest missionaries we support are Mark and Karen Marshak. They work with a group called Missions Door, and they are responsible for urban missions, reaching people in New York and Boston and Chicago and the major metropolitan centers of the nation. Rich and Julia Freeman are well known to us. Rich comes just about every year, has an important ministry with Chosen People to reach Jewish people with the gospel, to tell them about their Messiah. A few years ago, a group of us got to go to Sierra Leone and got to see firsthand the work of Michael Touré. And he's doing a phenomenal job in that impoverished country, helping people to know the riches of Jesus Christ. Then there's Peter and Kate Nash. We've had them here a few times, and they have served with Wycliffe Bible Translators, and Peter traveled all over the world until the pace of his travel just literally wore him out. So now he's doing a little bit more of a laid-back but still important job for Wycliffe in North Carolina. Nenang Samatri is the one indigenous, the second indigenous missionary we support in addition to Michael Touré. Nenang and his wife serve in Indonesia and work with college students. And then finally, the other mission agency that we support is Children's Bible Fellowship. And they're just a stone's throw away in Carmel, New York. The reason I go through all those is if we're going to pray for our missionaries, it has to begin with knowing our missionaries. Now, there have been a number of ways that we as a church have tried to help you get to know our missionaries. When we meet in the church sanctuary, we put information about the missionaries up on the screen so you can know who they are. We've been blessed that Yolanda Parker Johnson has made this a part of the prayer ministry, and she includes in the prayer sheet every week the missionaries that we support. And as a missions committee, we try to do all that we can to send out to you and pass along to you the information that we get from our missionaries, including a wonderful prayer letter that the Paschals put out. But you can't pray for people you don't know. So if we're going to hold the ropes, if we're going to support the missionaries, we not only need to support them with our money, we need to support them with our prayers. And we can't support them if we don't know who they are. But in the course of studying through 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul gives us instruction that can give us more specifically biblical input as to how our prayers can be used to touch our missionaries and to help them in their work. So I'd like to read for you 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and then explain to you how I see this as being laid out and how it fits in praying for our missionaries. The Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonians, "Finally, brothers, pray for us, that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance." In those five verses, the Apostle Paul lays out what we can do to pray for our missionaries. Now, that's not his agenda. That's really my agenda as a preacher, but I think it's in keeping with what his agenda is. Now, here's how I understand this passage to be working. And first and foremost, I'm convinced, based on this passage, that prayer is a key indicator of our faith, a key symptom of our faith. To look at it in a negative way, when you think about the coronavirus, you can't always tell whether someone has it or not, but one of the ways in which doctors try to find out if someone has it is by checking people's temperatures. On a positive side, if you want to know whether somebody's healthy, if their temperature is 98.6, there's a much better chance that they are healthy. Now, it's possible to pray and not be in good spiritual health. But if you're a person of faith, our faith in God is going to show up in our prayers and how we pray and our passion for prayer as we seek God. Now, let me explain this picture before you. It really is, and you probably can tell it, it's a coat rack, a four-pronged coat rack. I use this picture to give you a sense of the outline of these five verses, because they don't quite fit a normal outline, at least as I understand Paul's reasoning. So there's two parts, or three parts to this outline. The first part is that Paul, in verses 1 and 2, asked for the Thessalonians to pray for him. Then at the very end of the passage, he prays for them. So in verse 5, Paul prays for the Thessalonians. Now that's the broad subject of this passage. But the arms that of these prayer requests that Paul prays for are built on the base. And the base is that these prayers that Paul prays reflect Paul's confidence in God. So in other words, Paul prays for himself. He prays that the message of the Lord in verse 1 might spread rapidly and be honored. And in verse 2, pray that we might be delivered from wicked and evil men. So these are the first two prayer requests that Paul asks for himself. The last two requests in verse 5, Paul prays for the Thessalonians. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. So Paul's prayer for them is to know God's love, that it would impact them, that they might experience God's endurance, is be able to persevere. And all of this is founded on what is true about Jesus, what Paul is confident in. Notice he speaks of being confident in God in verses 4 and 5. He says, "We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command." And verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful." They're confident in the Lord. The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. So the point is, as you look at the structure of this passage, he starts out praying for himself, asking for prayers for himself, and then he prays for the Thessalonians. And all of this is built on the foundation, or in our case, the post of this coat rack. The spokes of prayer flow out of Paul's confidence in God. And what he knows about God helps him to be confident in what he prays for. So his prayer is that God's message would spread rapidly, and that he and Silas and Timothy would be delivered from those who oppose them. And then he prays for the Thessalonians, that they would have know God's heart, his love, that they would have his endurance. It's interesting that as you think about this, there are two prayer requests that Paul asks for himself. But really, the last prayer request is also something that we can pray for our missionaries, because these prayers reflect on the people that Paul was trying to reach. I mean, after all, Paul had planted a church in Thessalonica. So his prayer for the Thessalonians, was a prayer for the people he was trying to reach. So when we pray for missionaries, we pray for them, and we pray for the people to whom they minister. And so that makes this passage really what we can pray for our missionaries. Now let me explain that in more pointed way, not talking about Paul and the Thessalonians, but about us. Here are three things we can pray for when we think about praying for our missionaries. The first is we can pray that the message will go forth unhindered. And the reason I have this picture of a sprinter running is because it's really the picture I think that Paul has in this passage. The New International Version translates it May the message of the Lord spread rapidly and be honored. But literally what it says is, may the message of the Lord run and be glorified. It's a picture of an Olympic athlete running with all her might to get the gold, running to get all that God wants. And Paul's praying that when we preach, when we teach, may the message that we preach and teach have its final aim and accomplish what it's set out to do. The Word of God, as we know, is powerful. And the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, is unstoppable. So when we pray for missionaries, we can pray that their message might run and accomplish all that it is supposed to do. If our missionaries are people who focus on the Word of God, it's a powerful message indeed. Second thing missionaries can pray for is to pray for protection. That's what Paul asked for himself. He asked for prayer. He says, verse 2, and pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not everyone has faith. I think this is an interesting prayer request as well. You remember that Paul had planted this church in Thessalonica, and it was wicked men, those who were opposed to the gospel, who forced a riot and forced Paul out of the city. Now, Paul has moved south to Corinth. He's not that far away from Thessalonica. And he's going to be there for a while. And while he is there, he, in fact, wrote the letters of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. And it's becoming apparent that opposition is building against him in Corinth as well. In fact, if you read Acts chapter 18, we won't read it this morning, but there's a fellow by the name of Gallio who is a government official. And Jews who hated Paul and were opposed to his proclaiming Jesus as Messiah went before Gallio to have him put a stop to Paul's ministry. And Gallio didn't care about the Jews. He didn't care about the Christians. He said, this doesn't pertain to me. You all settle it yourselves. But the point I'm making is this opposition that comes to a head in chapter 18 of Acts was building up before that. So when Paul is writing this, he says, Lord, when you pray to the Lord, ask for his protection against those who would oppose us. I think as Paul prays that, this takes us back to something we looked at last week. If you were part of the service, if you were able to get on with all of our jumping around in different platforms last week, as we looked at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul talks about the man of lawlessness or the Antichrist. As we read about him, we discover he is a man, a human being who is empowered by Satan to do amazing things, all counterfeit to Christ, to lead people astray. Rather a sad and scary figure, really. But notice what Paul says in verse 7. He says, for the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. So this Antichrist, this man of lawlessness that Paul says is still yet to come, there are seeds of that kind of opposition that are out there in the world today. Those seeds, Paul knew about them. He saw them in Thessalonica, as did the Thessalonians. Paul saw them in Corinth. And so he asks for God's protection. And what's encouraging to me as I read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and as I read Revelation is, even though this man of lawlessness, this Antichrist figure, is a powerful, almost superhuman figure because he's empowered by Satan himself, when Jesus shows up on the scene, he is done. He may be far more powerful than I am, or far more powerful than any other human being because of his satanic abilities, but he's nothing compared to the Almighty God. And that's what Jesus says in verse 8. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy at the splendor of his coming. Almost no sooner does this lawless one get revealed than he's overthrown. I point that out from the past chapter because Paul was aware of how powerful Jesus is. And when we face people who are lawless people, opposed to the things of God, people who are nothing, nowhere nearly as powerful as the Antichrist, this man of lawlessness, we still have Jesus on our side, his power to overcome them. And knowing that, Paul asks the Thessalonians to pray for him. And it's a motivation for us when we pray for the Paschals or for the Freemans or the Labermans or whoever we pray for, to realize that he who is within us is greater, far greater than he was in the world. So we can pray that the word may run and accomplish all that it can accomplish through the power of God. And we can pray that God would protect our missionary as they face those who would oppose them. And it may not just be human forces. It may be physical forces, as Nikki faced in her immune disease, as she is in a place now where because of the COVID virus, she's more at risk. We lift her up and pray for God's protection on her. Then the third thing that we can pray for comes out of verse 5. Paul realizes that God is faithful. In contrast to the man of lawlessness, in contrast to those forces that opposed Paul, God is faithful. And God will take care of and protect them. And he will also watch over those to whom he ministers, the Thessalonians, or in the case of Matt Paschal, to refugees and the people he comes in contact with there in Hungary. So not only do we pray for God, that the word might run, for God's protection, we pray that God would work in the lives of the people that our missionaries serve. That's Paul's request. He prays that they would know love, that they would have the endurance of Jesus Christ. He says, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. William Barclay, commenting on this very verse, says, in the last verse of this passage, we see what we might call the inward and outward characteristics of the Christian. The inward characteristic is the awareness of the love of God, the deep awareness that we cannot drift beyond his care, the sense that the everlasting arms are underneath us. One of the basic needs of life is security, and we find that need met in the conscious, unchanging love of God. And the outward characteristic is the endurance which Christ can give. So inwardly, Paul wants the Thessalonians to know. He wants the people to whom he ministers to know Christ's love. We want that. I'm sure Matt wants that for the people to whom he ministers, that they would be overwhelmed and captivated by God's love, that it would change their lives, that it would help make them loving people. And then with Christ indwelling them and with his love motivating them, Christ also gives them the endurance to deal with difficult things. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, there's, I think, a similar allusion to this. Remember, this is after Paul's talked about the heroes of faith. And he says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run, this is the same word, with perseverance, the race marked out before us. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame. Jesus is our example. It is his love that indwells us in the through the Holy Spirit and captivates us and motivates us. And it is his endurance, the same endurance that he had to push through the cross for us, that we can have in the midst of difficulties and hard times, that the Thessalonians could have as they faced trials and they faced persecution. So if you want to pray for your missionary, as we said at the outset, first you have to know who our missionaries are. And then when you know the missionaries, there are three things we can pray for. This isn't an exhaustive list. It's just suggestive of things that really matter. Pray that their message, that the word would run to accomplish its ultimate aim. Pray that God would protect these missionaries from those who oppose them. Pray that God would work through them into the lives of the men and women that they serve, so they would know God's love, that they would have his endurance. See, our prayers are symptoms of our health. Our prayers are evidence of our faith. Our prayers are an outgrowth of what we believe in God. So consequently, if we truly believe that God is at work, then we will make prayer a priority. We will make it a priority to pray for those that we send out. When we think of holding the ropes for the Paschals, when we think of holding the ropes for the Lavermans, or the Freemans, or the Nashes, or Michael Ture. Some of that involves giving. Much of that involves praying. And if we believe that our God is faithful, if we believe that he is capable of bringing his work to completion, then we need to support that in prayer. Because it just may be that our prayers make the difference in what he plans to do. If we truly believe God is at work, then we're going to make prayer a higher priority. Would you bow with me as we pray? Lord God, thank you for these reminders from your word. Thank you for Matt and for Nikki. Thank you for the Lavermans, the Freemans, the Terrays, the Marshaks, the Nashes, the Mansfelds, Children's Bible Fellowship, Nenang Sumatri. Lord, we are blessed to serve with men and women, people like these. We're blessed to see your hand at work in them and through them and in the lives of others. Lord, may we be people who hold the ropes for them. May our prayers sustain them and encourage them and empower them. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.